key strategic ally and assures it of firm support. Multiple bomb attacks bring death and destruction in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. And five more civilians are killed in a NATO attack in the east of Afghanistan.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of world news on Press TV.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Well, the U.S. Middle East envoy George Mitchell has assured Israel's prime minister that Washington is firmly committed to the security of Israel. Mitchell told Benjamin Netanyahu that U.S. President Barack Obama has a strong pledge of enduring ties with Israel. Mitchell, who is visiting the region, said Obama wants a comprehensive peace deal between Israelis and the Palestinians soon. Washington's envoy also assured acting Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas of U.S. commitment to a Palestinian state. But Abbas is still waiting for Mitchell's answers regarding an end to Israeli settlement activities.
Expectations. He began his tour in Israel amid rocky Israeli-American ties. During his meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu on Friday in Jerusalem al-Quds, Mitchell agreed on further talks with the Israeli premier on Sunday.
I look forward to work with you and with President Obama to advance peace. We're serious about it. We know you're serious about it. We hope the Palestinians respond. We have to move this process forward. I look forward to working with the Obama administration to move peace forward.
Further talks indicate that both have yet to reach an agreement on key issues.
I look forward to continuing our efforts with Israel to achieve comprehensive peace and security in the region, including a two-state solution, and to working together to counter the forces that threaten Israel, the United States, and the world.
This is George Mitchell's first visit to the region since March, when Israel and the Palestinian Authority officials had agreed to start U.S.-mediated proximity talks. The Palestinians pulled out of the planned indirect talks after Israel approved a plan for 1,600 settlement units in East Jerusalem al-Quds. Israeli Premier Netanyahu has formally refused a U.S. call to freeze all settlement building in East Jerusalem al-Quds.
Netanyahu is not ready to give up important areas and settlements, and he wants the Palestinians to know that talking over these important issues should be done through direct talks and not through the U.S.
In latest statements during the week, Netanyahu agreed to the establishment of a Palestinian state with temporary borders. He had also agreed to giving some goodwill gestures to the Palestinians, such as removing checkpoints, easing the blockade on Gaza, and releasing prisoners, but had proposed to delay talks over Jerusalem al-Quds for the final status negotiations. Palestinians consider Jerusalem al-Quds as their future capital and wanted return to them.
Mr. Netanyahu, statements last night, his total defiance. He wants to exclude Jerusalem from negotiations. He wants to continue settlements in East Jerusalem, which is really a total blow to the efforts of Senator Mitchell.
Mitchell has expressed hope a breakthrough will be reached in the Palestinian-Israeli relations during his three-day visit. But Jerusalem al-Quds, that was annexed in 1967, and settlements remain a stumbling block.
The United States is trying once again to bring the Palestinians and the Israelis back to the negotiating table. But with Benjamin Netanyahu insisting on building in settlements in East Jerusalem al-Quds, analysts are skeptical that Mitchell's latest visit to the region will hold any tangible progress on the ground. Shirin Yassin, Press TV, al-Quds.
Well, it's been another bloody day for Iraq.
Multiple bomb attacks have killed at least 70 people and injured 180 more in the capital.
A series of blasts have hit Baghdad's Shia neighborhoods. The bombs went off around noon. The biggest explosion happened near the compound of anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr in Baghdad's Sadr city. Two car bombs and a roadside bomb exploded as worshippers gathered at the compound for Friday prayers. At least two dozen were killed and over 100 injured. Tens more were killed when three Shia mosques were targeted. A marketplace also came under attack in the capital. Friday's attacks have been some of the deadliest in recent weeks. Baghdad's security officials blame al-Qaeda-linked terrorists for the bombings. They say the attacks are in revenge for the recent al-Qaeda losses. Last Sunday, Iraqi authorities announced the killing of two top al-Qaeda leaders in northwest of Baghdad. However, some believe that violence is likely to claim more lives as no government is expected to be formed in the coming months. This after the March parliamentary elections produced no clear winner. The spike in insecurity comes as the United States' deadline to leave Iraq draws near. Under a security pact between Washington and Baghdad, the remaining American troops must be out of Iraq by the end of 2011. But some analysts argue that with insecurity on the rise in the war-torn country, Washington may be having second thoughts about leaving Iraq.
Well, another night raid by NATO forces in Afghanistan, this time in the province of Logar.
At least five Afghans have been killed in the attack. NATO claims the dead were militants who opened fire at its troops. It says two of its servicemen were also killed during the gun battle. Locals, however, say all the victims were civilians defending their homes. Angry villagers took to the streets to protest against foreign forces after the incident, but the U.S. has just rejected a request by Afghan President Hamid Karzai to ban deadly night raids. Earlier this week, NATO forces killed four unarmed young men during an attack in the southeastern Khost province. The U.N. says over 2,400 civilians were killed in Afghanistan last year. This makes 2009 the deadliest year in the eight-year U.S.-led war.
Well, Iran says its military drills in the Persian Gulf are a show of its capacity to maintain regional peace and security.
These drills, in fact, are a show of Iran's military might. The message of the Islamic Republic to its neighbors is security, stability, peace, and friendship. This is the most important message of these drills, especially when our neighboring countries in the Persian Gulf are participating.
Well, Jalili also said Iran will only use its military capabilities either in self-defense or to bring stability and security to the region. Naval, air and ground units from Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps have been holding major drills in the Persian Gulf and the strategic Strait of Hormuz.
Naval, air and ground units from Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps are taking part in the exercises dubbed Great Prophet 5. The second day of the drills includes complicated operations involving mine-carrying divers and rocket-launching vessels.
Today our divers carry out special exercises with mines. We are also entering the two-day tactical phase, which involves interception drills by light vessels, rocket launchers, missile launchers and vessels capable of firing torpedoes.
Friday's maneuvers showcase the latest military achievements of the IRGC's ground forces. The Islamic Revolution Guards Corps also successfully tested home-built drones that have the capability to detect and intercept intruding aircraft. Over 300 torpedo and guided missile vessels participated in the first day of the drills. A delegation of Qatari military officials also visited the region where the maneuvers are taking place. The Qatari officials expressed hope that the drills will help improve security in the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz, a narrow waterway where some four-tenths of the world's seaborne oil deliveries pass through.
Well, the Iranian capital, Tehran, is hosting an international exhibition on petrochemical and oil products.
Well, the Iranian oil minister says the event indicates that international pressure and sanctions have failed to stop Iran's progress.
Since the victory of the Islamic Revolution almost 31 years ago, in the initial years after the victory of the revolution, all foreign companies were told not to sell goods and products to Iran, and they did not manage to succeed. They worked on financial transactions, and today they are working on Iran's oil industry. Iranian companies are conducting projects, and they are even exporting engineering services. So if you compare today to 31 years ago, you will realize that such restrictions have made us more powerful.
In an exclusive interview with Press TV, Mir Kazemi said Iran has become self-sufficient in oil exploration. On the major peace pipeline project, which involves India and Pakistan, the Iranian minister said Tehran is on the verge of finalizing the deal. Mir Kazemi added that this year's exhibition has attracted even more participants than before. 435 companies from all around the world are taking part in the event, which will continue until Monday.
Well, Iran has dismissed as completely baseless the accusations against two of its nationals being held in Italy. Tehran says the United States is behind the detentions.
Iranian journalist Hamid Masuminejad and another Iranian national, Ali Damirchilou, were arrested early March in Italy. Police has accused the two of arms trafficking, an allegation Iranian officials strongly reject.
The allegations against Mr. Masuminejad are totally baseless. He is a professional journalist, and it seems the reason behind his arrest is to put pressure on Iranian journalists around the world.
On Wednesday, Italy's ambassador to Tehran, Alberto Bradinini, met with Iranian lawmakers over the arrests. However, the MPs say the envoy failed to provide a convincing explanation for the detentions. Iranian Foreign Ministry says the United States is behind these arrests and that the move is aimed at harming relations between Tehran and Rome.
We suppose that the psychological warfare that the United States has started is totally ineffective. We've always had friendly ties with Italy and strongly advise Italian officials not to play into the hands of U.S. officials and protect their own national interests.
Earlier this month, more than 70 high-profile Italians signed a petition calling for the release of the men. The signatories maintain Iran's enemies want to deceive the international community and prepare the ground for an attack on the country. Masuminejad had been working as a senior correspondent for the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting in Rome for more than 15 years before his arrest.
Well, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has ended a two-day visit to Zimbabwe.
The president was emphatic that the two nations should boost their ties.
Iran and Zimbabwe enjoy very strong political ties, and the two countries share the same position on regional and international issues. This visit was aimed at strengthening these relations and expanding economic and cultural ties.
Well, Iran and Zimbabwe signed 11 memoranda of understanding in the Zimbabwean capital, Harare. The memoranda covered sectors including transportation, technology, tourism, and education. Ahmadinejad visited Zimbabwe on Thursday and Friday, where he opened an international trade fair. President Robert Mugabe has said his country backs Iran's, quote, just cause on seeking a nuclear energy. Ahmadinejad has now arrived in Uganda on the second leg of his tour of Africa. There, he said, all nations are entitled to use nuclear energy and no one is allowed to deprive them of their right.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. It's time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. The U.S. says... Well, multiple bomb attacks bring death and destruction in Iraqi capital Baghdad. And five more civilians are killed in a NATO attack in the east of Afghanistan.